All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
So long, Frank Lloyd Wright. I can't believe your song is gone so soon.
Of all the bits to bring back, we got to bring back the you chomping into the mic bit.
I know it's been a while since we had a show snack.
It has been a long time since we had a show snack.
But I have discovered a new one that I want to bring to everyone's attention.
Okay.
This is Special K Blueberry.
Is it yummy?
It is delicious.
I like the strawberry one.
The blueberry one is outrageously good.
And?
It's good for you.
So they say.
Which is very important.
That's the rumor.
I tend to agree.
Helps heart disease or some shit?
I don't know. Just Special K indicates a cereal that is good for me.
Or a drug that'll fuck you up.
That's true. The other. I'm going with the cereal aspect, though.
All right.
Not the drug aspect. And...
not going with the cat... was it cat tranquilizer?
Yeah. And my fiance Liz will allow me to have it.
Well, isn't that swell? I'm glad that you're allowed to have it.
Yep. So there it is.
So, in theory, we're doing a show.
Yes.
That's why we're here. That's why the mics are turned on. You should name the episode, and then I can go into the other stuff.
Like the news and shit?
Yeah, whatever we do.
Last week was a little serious.
We got a little deep in segment two.
Yep.
Hey, look, we had to.
I think it was fair that, you know, we had our say about that.
I think it was absolutely fair we had our say about that, too.
And now we're, you know, we're going to rebound. We're going to, you know, get this thing back up on its feet, I say.
Yes.
Therefore, I'm calling this episode Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 160, One Brick at a Time.
That's an appropriate name for rebuilding the show out of the ashes from last week.
And we have some brick-related stuff later.
That was the surprise. I was saving it.
I'm just saying it can tie in.
You're a ruiner.
People apparently may have picked up already from the music what we may be talking about.
Maybe.
Probably not, because I didn't know the song either. This is one of Liz's selections. So.
Okay. Is this where I start?
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to finish eating and smacking your lips.
No. I'm absolutely fine. I've swallowed that bite and I'm starting on this one.
Well, let's go right into the... you know, it's a shame. Oh, wait, actually, maybe we should say something else. Maybe we should explain the absence of our producer this week's episode. Our pit. Prior to being here last week, he had other engagements and has assured us...
they always do.
...that he will be here next week. Mm-hmm. I'm holding him to his word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not letting him pull this chicanery, this silliness.
What, did he get elected mayor or something?
Not yet. I don't believe so.
Did he hit
the lottery?
Because that's what happens with people in that seat.
I don't believe he's going to see some singer that I thought may have been dead already, but apparently was still alive. I don't think he's moved on to create a studio in Weehawken. As far as I know, he will be here next week.
I don't think he's just, well, sitting around doing nothing.
I think he'll be here next week.
Okay, we'll see.
And it's a shame he's not here, because I have some Bryan Singer bits.
Yeah?
And I know he had the rage on, the anger. That's needed to do this show.
You know
on
what? He says the things that we feel.
He's definitely what you feel. He mimics you and your opinions very closely. And that's a good thing.
I don't think that's mimic, sir. I think it's
not mimic.
A dirty word.
Shares, maybe. He shares similar opinions.
We have agreements on things. That's certainly right. Certainly, that's true. We have agreements on things that, you know, most people should agree with us on.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
All right. Excalibur. There it is. Silence out of you. I love it.
What about it?
Bryan Singer is rebooting, re-envisioning, reimagining, sparkly music here, Excalibur.
Oh, my God. Why?
I don't know. He's going to direct. He's not going to write. I don't know if that matters.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there.
Unbelievable.
There's nothing else to say.
Unbelievable.
That's it.
It's a sword and sorcery classic.
It is. All of those things.
And how are they ever going to get somebody to play Merlin, like that guy who played Merlin in that movie?
I don't know.
He would talk like this.
And then, for no reason, he would talk like this.
In the same sentence.
The movie had some amazing talent in
it. I'm trying to remember.
Helen Mirren, Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Gabriel Byrne, Patrick Stewart.
Go on.
That's it.
There was more.
I'm sure there was.
Did you say Liam Neeson?
I did say Liam Neeson. Oh, okay. Sir Gawain, right?
No,
Gawain.
No, he was neither of those, but good.
Well,
try.
Who was it?
He was...
Because according to what I have in front of me, he was Gawain.
I don't think he was Gawain.
All right.
You going to look it up?
I am going to look it up.
I don't think you're right.
But while I'm looking it up, I'm going to move forward in the news.
I'm trying to remember that line that Merlin gave. Whenever I used to do my impression of him, I would use that line. And it ended something like, and then, of course, you know, like he would do this, I am talking like the mysterious wizard, and then, of course, I'm talking like this.
I don't know. He was,
very strange.
He was on Special K.
It was a very strange performance, is all I'm saying, and wonderful. And wasn't Nigel Terry Arthur in that movie, or Terry Nigel?
Nigel Terry was Arthur.
Uh-huh.
Helen Mirren was Morgana.
Uh-huh.
Liam Neeson was Gawain.
No, he was not Gawain.
According to IMDb, according to my sources that I found the story online.
Wasn't Gawain the dude that found the Grail?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that was
Nicole Williamson played Merlin.
Uh-huh. Yes, he's done a lot.
Yeah. Gabriel Byrne played Uther.
Uther.
Gabriel Byrne played... Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, there was a lot of people
there
in that
movie. There was a lot of people in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryan Singer's going to figure out a way to ruin it.
Yeah, he's an asshat.
Bryan Singer. Remember how we were saying how Battlestar, you thought Battlestar was the one that may not happen, and I said that one's definitely happening probably at this point?
Yeah.
This is the one that may not happen. This is the one that, it sounds great right now, but it'll...
Yeah, I think it would be an awful shame were that to occur. Bryan Singer has completely lost his geek cred, I just have to say.
This was a hot topic. Bryan Singer lost his geek cred online.
Oh, yeah?
And people were talking about where he lost it or where this all started.
Mm-hmm.
And I say X3, and then other people say Superman.
It's the same fucking maneuver.
That's how I see it. But some people don't count X3. They only put the blame on Ratner.
You bail.
I'm putting it on Singer.
You bail on X3 to go do Superman. You're responsible for both disasters.
Exactly. See, this is where we agree.
Okay, but that's just the goddamn truth.
I don't disagree.
All right. What else you got?
Let's stick with Singer-related news, not involving Bryan Singer, but involving Brandon Routh. See how I did that right there? I tied it all together.
Yep.
Under the Superman.
Brandon Routh, the bad Superman. Uh-huh,
right.
Go on.
He is going to be in next season of Chuck.
Okay.
He's got a special cameo on the show in a story arc involving Chuck and Sarah, naturally. And he's going to play a love interest, I believe, to Sarah and a special agent.
Uh-huh. I hope... You almost want to watch just for whatever the Superman crack is going to be.
Well, I watched that show anyway, so for me, it's an easy watch. But I'm absolutely interested to see how they're going to do it, because you know they're going to do it.
They better do it.
Yeah.
Or that show will lose its geek cred. I'm starting to yank geek cred away from everybody.
You just taking
that's
it away?
That's it. You fuck up, you get your geek cred yanked. That's all it. Right. I ain't taking a shit
I'd have
anymore.
No geek cred left. I fuck up all the time.
No, you at least come back and try. You're like a masochist.
Is that what it is?
Taking it and coming back. And yet you still haven't watched Star Trek, have you?
No, but I hear that if I really wanted to skip the original series and just jump into Next Generation, I couldn't, and I would enjoy myself thoroughly.
And what asshat told you that?
I read that on the interwebs.
Really?
All I'm saying.
Who wrote it to you on the interwebs? Don't lie to me. I'll know.
No, seriously. There was an article about people getting involved in Trek. I don't remember where it was. It was on Pop Candy or something, one of those sites. And they were talking about how daunting it is for someone who's not familiar with the series and where would jumping on points would be. And do you have to watch it from the beginning? And apparently one of the opinions out there is that if you wanted to jump on at the Next Generation, you could. I wouldn't do that because I would feel wrong and dirty inside. But apparently people have the opinion that you could do that.
That is an irresponsible response to that question.
Okay.
Because so much of the Next Generation, regardless of what anybody says, first of all, the entire second season of Next Generation was stories created for the original series. Thank you very much.
I didn't know that.
And second of all, so many of the nuances and so many of the little things in Next Generation were things that grew out of the original series.
Okay.
It's an irresponsible answer.
All right.
It makes me angry. Go watch the original series. It's 39 episodes, for God's sake, man.
It's not a huge commitment. It's really a season and change.
At 40 minutes and change a piece, yeah, whatever. 44 minutes, if they're even that long.
It's
do
not
the
a
fucking
lot.
Math. 40. Let's call it 45 minutes times 39. It's not. It's peanuts, sir. Peanuts.
Okay.
Just saying. Just do it.
Can we yank some of Todd McFarlane's geek cred? Just cause.
He's a sports
guy now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I think so. Doesn't he? It's all he does these days. Most of his good product these days is either like combat related or sports related.
Halo.
Okay, all right, he gets credit for Halo. You know where he may lose credit though?
Where?
He's doing the Spawn movie again. Now we've heard this back and forth.
Yeah.
100 times.
So he's...
But last week, apparently...
Wait, hold on. Is he reimagining the Spawn movie?
Yes, this is a standalone. It is separate from the original. Uh-huh. So, in theory, it is a reimagining. On his Twitter page last week. Now, I don't follow Todd on Twitter. I find it to be useless. But apparently, he announced...
Be like following, I don't know, what's his name?
Who? Joe Q? I don't follow him either.
Although Joe Q may be a good example of that. No, I meant it'd be like following Billy Tucci.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
Or...
Dawn. Jesus, what is his name? Linsner.
Right.
Wow.
He's
forgotten.
Thanks for helping me into that one.
He's forgotten. I've written him off.
So you've sold your entire collection then, have you?
Everything but One Piece.
Yeah?
Yeah. All the prints I had, I went up on eBay, and everything but One Piece. The only piece I hold on to is the 9/11 piece.
And people sold, and people bought some of it, huh?
Yeah, people are interested in that stuff. There are still fans, apparently.
Wow.
He has officially, according to him, posted on his Twitter page, he has officially begun writing the Spawn movie screenplay. It's an idea that he's been kicking around in his head for 7 or 8 years. He's going for something that's R-rated,
awful lonely,
creepy and scary, and definitely more adult themed.
Yada yada. Let's talk about Dark Horse.
We like Dark Horse.
A couple of Star Wars things that they have that are coming out that everybody should
like. Star Wars.
Yes. The Star Wars Omnibus Shadows of the Empire TP, collecting more than 400 pages of all the Shadows of the Empire stuff that was out there. Remember what Shadows of the Empire is?
I do. It was
that
the
ridiculous little... No.
Well, it was the book that bridged...
Yeah, book.
Yeah, it was the book that bridged... Was it episode... episode?
Stop episoding.
Five, six.
Just say what the titles
are. It bridged
are.
Empire and Jedi.
Yes. That is correct.
Five and
She-Zor.
Six.
She-Zor.
Yeah. Who knew?
She-Zor. All of a sudden, this thing came out, and it bridged these things, and it was a book, and there were toys, and so on and so forth.
Some of the toys were great. Some of the story was really good. Introduced some great new characters.
Yes, Thrawn.
Yeah, Prawn. Card.
Not Prawn. Thrawn.
I was thinking Pepe.
Prawn?
Yeah, you know. He's the King Prawn. Could you imagine him with a lightsaber?
No.
That would be great. I think Brian Lynch should write it.
Yeah, of course. Speaking of Thrawn, Grand Admiral yes. Thrawn, thank you very much. Star Wars, the Thrawn Trilogy hardcover is coming out from Dark Horse, and that will represent, and that will, the Thrawn Trilogy is Timothy Zahn's sequel books, Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command.
Introduced Mara Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
the first. And aren't the twins, isn't this one that, oh, I'm sorry, not only the twins, but.
Yeah, I believe that, is it Jaina, Jason, and Anakin?
I think so, yeah.
Are the three? I think they're born by the end of the trilogy.
Is that when they're born? Because yeah, I know they so. Grow up, I know in some other books that they are teenagers and young adults.
Teenagers and young adults.
Except Anakin.
Right, well.
Gets killed.
Right. Apparently. Luke restarts the Jedi Academy.
And one of them goes dark. Doesn't one of them go dark? Like the girl? Doesn't she go maybe. Dark?
I don't know. I don't think I read that far. I think I stopped at some point. But anyway, yeah.
All of that has its basis here in the Thrawn Trilogy, coming out in hardcover format, 420 pages.
That's exciting.
Collecting Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. So, goody for that. Goody, goody. Also from Dark Horse, Zach Whedon and friends, brother of Joss Whedon,
right.
are going back into the world of Dr. Horrible with a 40-page one-shot appropriately called Dr. Horrible. The standalone tale that I guess it's kind of a year one story, how Dr. Ooh. Horrible became so horrible.
You know why I'm excited about this? Because maybe Moist will finally get his day in the comic book pages.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess they'll get into some Captain Hammer stuff at all. Penny will be in the book. Oh. Moist. And so
there you go.
It's all happening.
You want to know what the useless Marvel-related movie news of the week is?
Sure. I had to think about it.
Kevin Feige
uh-huh.
has announced that Nick Fury plays an important role in bringing together the Avengers for the Avengers movie.
Get out.
No shit.
Is that why he was in the end of Iron Man and we know he signed for 9 other movies?
Nick Fury is the conduit through which all the characters will connect. Did this need to be said?
Yes, in a special book. This is like Fantastic's news to me thing.
Yeah, it's like,
this is like who it's the
ridiculous.
Fuck didn't know
who
this?
Who didn't know this already? Anyway.
Well, it's a spoiler. Do. Is it? Shut up.
Let's go into Batman-related news. There are things here. There are several pieces.
Okay.
All right. The first
I'm
piece.
I'm braced.
The first thing is the Megan Fox rumors are completely untrue. So
about
just
Catwoman?
Erase all of those. Yeah. Okay. Just forget about all of those.
There's
not
no
true.
Fucking way.
Not a chance in hell. It'll never happen.
Right. Because she's a cunt.
Done. Moving on.
Uh-huh.
The possible rumor that is true is that it will be shot entirely in IMAX.
Yes. They said that. I think we might have been clued into that without being precisely told that by a certain producer of that movie that we are familiar with.
Right.
I believe he did indicate that that might be the case this time around.
Well, it's resurfacing around the internet, and they're saying that one of the reasons why he's doing Inception before moving on to the next Batman film is that he's giving them some time to get some of the stuff in order,
right.
get some stuff lined up, because, you know, the equipment is few and far between,
right.
and expensive, and so...
But that was Inception.
It's the other Chris Nolan movie that he's working on right now.
Okay.
Who's
the hero?
There's no hero. Well, I'm sure there's a hero, but it's not comic related.
Wow. Figure he'd learn. Stick with what you know. That's bullshit. That's a bullshit thing I just said, because he did... what you call it? The Prestige.
He did do The Prestige.
And that movie was awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Was a little on the sci-fi end, though.
It was.
Okay, just saying.
So all the Batman talk this week, combined with the release of Batman Arkham Asylum, which we'll get to in a second, has led to conversations about who do you think, villain-wise, would work in the new... No, not who do you think is going to be in it, but who do you think would actually work in the new Batman world that Chris Nolan has created.
We've talked about this.
Have we talked about this in length?
I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. You and I have talked about this.
Absolutely.
But there is a clear clear answer, and that answer is the Riddler. And it's because you can take the parts of Heath Ledger's character and apply them to the Riddler, but in a fanatical sort of way, in a fan, super fan sort of way. Here's a guy who really appreciated what the Joker did, but is trying to take it to a sort of a more intelligent level rather than, that kind of demeans the Joker a little bit. But what I mean is to take it to a different level.
The Riddler is less chaotic.
Right.
In his thought process.
Right, right. But I mean, it certainly could be somebody trying to emulate what the Joker did to Gotham in a more... And you tie joke and riddle together so easily.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of... There's kind of an easy way to go there. Whether you go that way or not, I don't know. But
we're not talking about just the next movie. We're talking about just in general what Batman villains do and do not work. For example, the one that came up the most that doesn't work would probably be Clayface. Doesn't work in the new Chris Nolan Batman universe.
Why?
I think because his character is kind of so...
Supernatural?
So supernatural.
Right.
That how do you tie... Like, the Riddler works, Penguin works, even Killer Croc you can make work, but Clayface is kind of hard. Is there any Harley Quinn is easy?
It depends really on which Killer Croc. If you're talking about just this huge deformed guy,
it works.
It works.
You
but if you talk about Killer Croc as, you know, the kind of croc from the waist up, except he has arms and the tail.
That doesn't work.
Do I think there's somebody? I guess are we asking who does or who doesn't work?
Who does and who doesn't?
Let's pitch this out to the audience.
Okay.
Who do you think does and or doesn't work in the new Chris Nolan Batman universe? You want to give us a call at our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Or you can write us at geekstuffog@gmail.com. Let us know who you think works and why, and who you think doesn't work and why. Like, for example, I think to an extent you could probably make Mr. Freeze work.
Okay.
Because
it's technology based.
Yeah, it's technology and science, so you could technically make him work. I think Ra's al Ghul
was perfect.
Yeah, because there is they removed all the fantastical parts of Ra's al Ghul, and that's why it worked. Who are the other majors? Penguin would work
if you don't give him flipper hands.
You can even give him fucking flipper hands. Maybe that's why he's called the Penguin, because he's deformed. He has thalidomide hands. That's fine. That doesn't not work because of that. Who else?
I don't know.
Well, Catwoman works.
Why don't we leave the discussion for now and revisit it in a week or two once we've had a chance to collect some people's opinions.
Okay.
And then we'll, I just wanted to put it out there.
I'm fine.
All right. Arkham Asylum.
The video game.
It's awesome.
I play tested it, sir.
I love it.
You own it?
I do. I bought it for the PS3.
Wow.
I procured a copy for the PS3. I have not played as the Joker yet because that wasn't my primary goal.
Fuck you.
I have not played as the Joker yet because that was not my primary goal.
What was your primary goal?
To play the game in general. And? I will go back and play as the Joker once I complete it.
I did the play test that they had in the stores where you're kind of just beating up guys. Is there more to it than that?
There's a lot more to it than that. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest criticisms out there right now is that the demo was not a good means of selling the game.
Oh, really?
Because there's more to it. I mean, there is some detective work that goes on in the game.
Right.
You know, it's not just fighting. Really, the storyline is fantastic. There's a whole sub-game to it that just involves the Riddler and collecting pieces to a clue and puzzles and stuff like that.
Right.
In addition to that, one of the things that I like, I consider myself a casual console gamer.
Yes.
Okay. And as a casual console gamer, one of the biggest problems I have is that sometimes the controls in a game get so tedious and so overbearing that it's hard to play the game as a casual gamer. This game doesn't suffer from that.
You felt that way about Galaga, though.
Galaga was... No.
Just saying.
But the character designs are awesome. The story has been fantastic thus far. Again, the controls are good. The Riddler sub game is really interesting and fun so far. I really would love to see someone do some toys based on some of the character designs. I don't think it'll happen,
right,
but I'd love to see it. The Harley Quinn piece alone would be worth it.
Really?
She's awesome. Her character design's awesome.
I have, I'm getting the, there's a special edition of that.
Okay.
For the 360. I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was out. It's probably part
of it. It just came out this past week. It just came out Tuesday.
I have to contact my source about that, make sure that I get him money. But that said, yeah, I've heard a lot about it. Like I said, I played the demo. I really liked the demo a lot, so I imagine the game can only get better from there. So that's good.
How he interacts with Oracle is fantastic. I mean, it's just, there's just some really great Batman elements in here.
Terrific.
And as a fan of Batman, as a fan of gaming in general, it's definitely worth picking up.
Sweet.
That being said, why don't we take our first break and we'll come back with some good stuff in segment two.
Okay.
Perhaps some audience participation.
Right.
Just putting it out there.
And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 160, Brick by Brick.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Kevin OG, what up, my dogs? Yeah. Boy, that was really lame. What the fuck? Jesus Christ. You know, you always say that we can call up and we might hear our voices and, you know, we can call and tell you how much you suck and everything. I'm not telling you you suck. I think you guys are great. I rely on you guys to find out my new DVD releases so I know what to go and get. Everything like that. I'm not a big comic book fan, but I am big into the sci-fi and all that good stuff. But, you know, I don't hear very many voice messages that you guys play. I think one a show, maybe. You know, maybe you should start playing a little bit more. And, yeah, I want to know more about Firefly. God damn it. I am one of those diehard Firefly fans. Serenity, I don't care if it was bad or not. I loved it. Whatever. But, yeah, more sci-fi stuff. More DVD releases. Want to know more about those. Okay. I think this is a car crash, train wreck phone call. But play it. Please play it because I listen to you guys every week. Please. This is Jess from Buffalo, and everybody loves me. God, I suck.
I don't care what he calls himself. If Brian Lynch calls this show again, disguising his voice, we're going to have to do something. Maybe with the law.
With the law?
I'm just saying.
Brian Lynch is a supporter.
I am not going to tolerate this harassment.
That's not very
well,
nice.
Clearly, folks.
Jessica.
Something. I think it was a dude, sir. I want to say Jeff. If I think I'm wrong, it was Jess. Jeff or Jess. Whichever drunk
it was.
It
a dude.
Was,
I think it was Jess, though.
Yeah. Maybe if he wasn't slurring his way through the phone call, we might have been able to understand him. There you go, folks. Exactly what not to do when you call into Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
He had his phone ring. He had
everything.
It wasn't well thought out. He was all over the
focused.
Place. He may have been inebriated.
He tried to hop into a bit that clearly is not about him. You know, the what you call it bit.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Exactly, that bit. Exactly. Try to hop right in there. And yeah, folks, if you have a comment or you have a question about a specific topic, look, don't hesitate. Go right over to your phone. Give us a call.
425-920-6050.
And if you've been drinking that day, then you want to go write geekstuffog@gmail.com. That's geekstuffog@gmail.com. And yeah, handle your biznatch that way.
There it is.
God,
we
damn.
Could address the. I guess we could take one thing out of it and address the how come no more than one phone call per episode.
Well, because we have so many calls that we could do an entire episode just answering people's calls, but we don't want to do that because we have news to dispense, we have products to talk about, so we try to limit it to one phone call per episode.
There have been occasions where we've picked two.
Yeah.
If there are two really good phone calls,
yeah,
but,
and they were like coinciding.
Listen.
Also, if you ever catch us in a live venue where we can take phone calls, we take phone calls then. So
when you're doing a live show, you have a screen, right? And you can screen the calls.
No.
Well, sometimes. Oh, that's true.
We weren't
that's
able true. To screen we, the calls the yeah. last time we were live.
We weren't able to. Okay, sometimes in a live venue, you have the opportunity to screen the calls. This is kind of us screening the calls. We pick the good ones and we play them. Or we pick the really good ones.
Yeah.
Or the pertinent ones. Or the ones that aren't psychobabble.
Or the ones that, in this case, show you exactly what not to do.
So, Jess in Buffalo, I hope that you're happy that we played your call. Thank you for listening every week. And,
put a finer point on it next time, drunk.
Why don't we move into DVDs, since
okay.
that's what he wanted to know about.
Good. Let's tell him all about this week's DVDs. Put the beer down and check out Adventureland. Doo-doo-doo. New on DVD. This is the from the director of Superbad. It stars all your favorites, Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart from Twilight fame.
Ooh.
Yes, she did do movies before Twilight.
No one
Bill
knew.
Hader, Kristen Wiig, and Ryan Reynolds, which of course makes the thing worth getting right there.
Right.
You know, it's a typical summer, kid gets a summer job story at amusement park. All the shenanigans that go on at music. Think the movie Waiting with Ryan Reynolds, but set in a theme park.
Okay.
You know, we're kind of getting into that territory. Funny flick. You should check it out. You should also check out season 5 of TV's greatest medical drama now, because ER is gone. House MD, the 5th season, is absolutely, you know, you think they don't get any better. And then season 5 comes out and it's even better. And now season 6 is about to start. And I don't want to give away where House is, but let's just say, fucking crazy.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Arkham.
There you go. And they filmed that in Jersey.
I know.
Somewhere real nearby. Liz was telling me
that's
where.
What I hear.
What it's called. But yeah, so I was like, you mean we could have met House? And of course, you know, then I was regretful. And
you
finally.
Cast him as the Riddler.
No.
Too old?
No, too. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. From. The Shaw Brothers Classic Collection. I had to bring this to your attention, sir. It's the 5 Deadly Venoms.
Nice.
This is one of those great Saturday afternoon kung fu movies from our youth. And from our youth, I mean way before us, because this movie came out, I'm sure, in the 60s or 70s. But point of it is there's a lot of G's and N's and C's in the names of people that made this movie.
Right.
And it's one of those classic science fiction, classic kung fu movies that you everybody always makes fun of these type of movies. This is one of the movies they make fun of. So check it out. It's The Five Deadly Venoms. It's from Celestial Pictures. Absolutely fantastic. I think they should do this with all the great, you know, like Drunken Master. There might be one for Drunken Master.
Already. Flying Guillotine?
Yeah, Flying Guillotine. I have a good copy of Flying Guillotine. I know you do. But that's what I mean, like that classic kind of holy, not unreal science fiction. I said it again, but I mean like not real kung fu movies, like impossibly fantastical kung fu movies.
It's a couple more we should probably mention that came out this week.
Oh?
Smallville Season 8. Okay. Well, we may not be fans of that show
in particular.
People are. Scrubs Season 8 also came out this week.
Okay, I guess.
Batman, The Brave and the Bold, Volume 1.
And not being carried by
Best Buy. Why?
Only online. I have no idea why.
That is so silly.
I know. I got to go pick that up. I heard that cartoon.
Wait, what do you mean? Only online? Like only on Best Buy online?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. But you could pick it up Best Buy.
No, yeah. I mean, Best Buy only carries it online. That's what I was told.
I don't know why they do.
I don't know why either. It's so bizarre. I heard it's really retro cool, too. I heard it's really funny and cool. So
yeah, I want to grab it. I know.
So,
all right. All right, that's it. I just wanted to throw those out there.
You know, the Green Arrow's coming out in the second wave of those toys.
I know. I'm going to have to get them.
You know, Green Arrow just came out in the DCU Wave 10. Just saying.
Damn it.
Let's talk about what came out from DC Direct since we've sashayed into toys.
Sure.
It's History of the DC Universe, number 2, series 2, I should say. And this time we are treated to The Flash, Aquaman, Black Lightning, and The Creeper.
Well, isn't that fancy?
Yes.
I like the Creeper design.
I know. And actually, they've done him really well. The way they've done that... The furry shoulder things that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a solidish piece, but it's like velvety. Textured. Yeah, it's really, really. They've done a nice job with it. Aquaman, Flash, kind of, you know, par for the course. You know, nothing terribly overwhelming or exciting about them. They are Aquaman. They are the Flash. Black Lightning is the retro Black Lightning, you know.
Right.
I don't think personally that his afro. I mean, you tell me what you think. I don't think the afro is big enough as compared to the way he originally looked. And if this is the history of the DC universe, I mean, Black Lightning's afro should definitely be bigger than that.
Yeah, he needs that like 70s Shaft afro.
I know, because that's what I from that. Look at that costume.
The well-coiffed afro.
With the split shirt and you know,
and the little mask.
Yeah, and the big giant butterfly collar. You know, like, I mean, that clearly is dating that character. Therefore, the hair on that character should agree with the costume. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's four characters in the line. I think it's a great line. I question some of the choices in the line.
Right.
This particular one, I mean, you kind of, if you're going to do History of the DC Universe, of course you have to do Aquaman, you have to do Flash. Black Lightning was interesting, and Creeper was just downright cool because he's kind of out of left field a little bit. Kind of like, remember we talked about Series 1 and Blue Devil was in it?
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. He was kind of like, they did kind of two standard characters in the line. Green Arrow, Batman are kind of wide-known standard characters. They did a lesser-known but important character. In Wave 1, it was Manhunter. I think in this line, it's Black Lightning. And then they did one from left field, which in the first line was Blue Devil, and I think this line is Creeper. Let's see if that holds true for Series 3. Series 3 is going to be Superman, Brainiac, Plastic Man, and Ocean Master. So Superman and Brainiac are kind of there. Plastic Man right. is kind of important, but a bit from left field. And Ocean Master's out of the fucking blue. So at least I got a pattern going.
That's good, though. I'm glad that they're addressing some of these characters.
Yes.
And keeping it fun.
Right. And the figures are well articulated. The packaging is nice. Yeah. Overall, very good. DC, History of the DC Universe, series number 2.
All right.
Shall we talk about comical books?
You should talk about comical ha-has.
Project Superpowers, chapter 2, Captain Future.
Okay.
So this is actually issue 2.
Oh, all right, right, right.
Of volume 2 or chapter 2, and it features Captain Future.
Isn't that fun?
I'm starting to wonder why I'm reading this book.
I was going to say, why are you reading that book? Sell me on it.
Because the characters are retro, and there's something cool about what they're doing with retro characters here that, say, wasn't so cool in The 12, written by Straczynski, that, say, I don't know how cool it's going to be yet or not cool in the Marvels project. But I'm hanging in there with this. I'll be honest. It's a lot because of Alex Ross.
Well, that's a fair... It's a fair thing to say. Well, nothing wrong with
that. Well, I hope you think that it's fair, sir.
I think it's fair.
I'm being honest. And, of course, our friend Jim Krueger plotting and scripting as well. So I'm trying to hang in there based on those things.
That's
but...
like a reunion.
Yeah, it is. Buck Rogers, number 3. From Dynamite. The other, the superpowers, also from Dynamite. You know, this Buck Rogers book is really, really fantastic. And I really am excited that it's going on still. And
there it is.
Everybody should check it out.
All right.
Phantom Generations, number 4. This is chapter 4, The Skull and the Oath. It's stories of the Phantom. It's more text than it is illustration.
But that's okay.
It's all, well, I'm just saying, it's like, it's novel. It's a novel format. In a comic book, but every right-hand page...
It's like Stardust.
...is a pinup. Pinup, pinup, text, pinup, text, pinup, text. So if you like that sort of thing, it's good. And I do. So, and the character's great. The pinups are really nice. Star Wars Legacy 39.
Nice. Still a big fan of that book.
I know. And you should be. And this is back on Tatooine. I think this may be... I don't know if this is the last chapter of that particular story. Oh, no, it isn't. This is Tatooine Part 3 of 4. So actually, I guess issue 40 will be the end of that particular storyline that's been going on here for a while. And what is Luke Skywalker doing on the cover?
Yeah, I just saw that. What is that about?
I'm not telling you because I know.
All right.
From DC, we've been talking about the Red Circle books. Straczynski taking some old school characters and bringing them modern in their own sort of little world. And here we go. It's the last one, right? Yes. It's The Shield. And before you start saying he's a Captain America ripoff, we know.
Okay.
Even though I think he precedes Captain America.
All right.
I'm not sure about that. This one done by Straczynski, Scott McDaniel, Andy Owens. They're attempting to bring... Again, sort of him a little bit more forward and start this whole sort of rigmarole, if you will, with these older characters. You know, we've discussed them over the weeks. The Web, The Shield, The Hangman, and Inferno.
Right.
I think they're all great. I think The Shield, meh, a little bit meh. But it's hard to be a huge Captain America fan my entire life and then kind of try to accept
The Shield. Yeah
just but it's an interesting angle, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy,
still reading that book,
number 17. Are you reading this one?
No, not yet.
Sir, you should read this
one. I'm waiting for, you know,
they've traded it, sir. You have no excuse.
No, I'm waiting to find the trade in, like, you know.
Oh, really?
Cheapo bins.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Any
Big Apple comic,
any book that has Rocket Raccoon in it, sir, you got to be reading it. That's all I'm saying. It's the War of Kings storyline. Seems like to me this has been going on for quite the little while.
Forever.
Right. But it's good, sir. It's very, very good. Batman, The Widening Gyre. This is the second collaboration from one Kevin Smith and Walter Flanagan.
Ooh, Walt.
Yes. The artwork is very nice. I haven't read the story yet, to be honest with you, so okay. I don't want to comment. What I will comment on is the fact that it is getting very good reviews. A lot of people talking about the widening gyre. So I'm very excited to read it. It's a first issue of six. So there you go. Very excited.
There it is.
And closing out comics this week, of course, the Wednesday Comics Project continues. This is the eighth week of 12. I think it's 12 weeks total.
Okay.
This is the large newsprint broadsheet format, one-page comics that DC's been doing. Features all the characters you love. Batman, Superman, Deadman, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Metal Men, Sergeant Rock, Demon, Wonder Woman, and on and on and on and on. Terrific experiment. I don't know that I see this as a long-term project, but as a short-term project as it is, I think it's great. I'm dying to know if they're going to somehow dare to try to trade these.
Okay.
I don't know what format that would take.
Yes.
I don't get it. But in any event, if you're not getting them, you should. If you missed them, you should go pick them up. The stories are very good. I mean, I have to say, for single-page stories, I think the stories are very well done.
Okay.
So, that's it for comics.
All right.
And we wanted to bring to your attention, we talked about these a while back, and we thought that we'd be able to talk more about them before they came out. But, of course, we were unable to do that. I don't understand our relationship with Lego sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we have a great relationship, and other times I think
it's just falling apart.
What the fuck? You know, and I don't know. It bugs me. But in any event, their architecture series.
Awesome?
Yeah, it's awesome. Two new pieces to their architecture series focus on the work of my favorite architect of all time. And that is, any idea, sir?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright. Thank you very much. They the first one is number 21004. That's the model number, I believe.
Okay.
It is the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum in New York City. The Guggenheim was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and here now you have a Lego version of it that you can build.
Those things are beautiful.
It is. And it's, you know what? It's kind of tiny. You know, the piece when it's built overall, it's kind of small, but it's really nice. It's great to sit on a desk. It's great to give as a gift to somebody.
Stocking stuffer.
Right? And they can put it on their desk, or they can put it on display. You know what I mean? People have little knick-knacky shelfy things. This would easily, the Guggenheim, easily go on one of those.
Okay.
Great. It's only got 208 pieces, ages 10 plus, so OG could do this one.
Nice.
Yeah.
While on the can.
Of course. On the packaging, can we just say packaging? Awesome packaging. On the back gives you a fully rendered drawing of the museum by Frank Lloyd Wright. Gives you some history of the museum, some history of Frank Lloyd Wright. A terrific, terrific piece, about 4 inches tall, getting back to size on it there, OG. It's only about yay big.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really a sweet little thing. And absolutely the mother load has been hit with this piece, sir.
Okay.
This is, again, from the architecture series. This is Falling Water.
That's a pretty one.
Which is the home designed by Frank Lloyd Wright that is in Mill Run, Pennsylvania. Model number here is 21005, 811 pieces it takes to put this one together.
I saw someone make a cake out of that on Food Network once.
Falling Water?
Yeah, it was awesome.
On Ace of Cakes?
It wasn't on Ace of Cakes. It was on one of those Food Network challenges.
Oh, really?
Where they bring in a bunch of bakers to make cakes out of things. And it was an architecture challenge. Falling Water? And the person did Falling Water, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Again, on the back... going to give you a bit of history on Falling Water, a bit of history on Frank Lloyd Wright, some more product shots and sketches and things. They even got a little tiny picture of the actual Falling Water in the lower corner on the package there. This one's about 10 inches in width, but height I'm not so sure, maybe 5 or 6 inches or so, I would say. Yeah, probably about that, maybe 7. 811 pieces it'll put together. for you and look at it. I mean, it just displays beautifully. I wish they had done much larger versions of these.
Are you sure that that's the dimensions on that thing built?
Yes, sir.
Huh, okay.
Yes, sir.
That does seem kind of small for that size packaging. That's why I'm just curious. But I guess it's a lot of pieces, so.
It is. You know what's great about Lego is that they don't just stick to one thing.
Well, that's for sure.
They absolutely, and in all ways, they're constantly exploring new avenues. They're constantly exploring new things to do.
This is a great way for them to go.
Yeah, architecture series. They're thumbs in every commercial property that's any way decent.
Good for them.
Star Wars. The Star Wars Lego stuff is so out of hand, man, that there's like whole rows of it at Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Just Star Wars Legos.
Uh-huh.
They got Harry Potter. They got all sorts of things happening over at Lego. When I was a kid, there wasn't a lot of this kind of universe stuff. And, you know, they have their own universe stuff, right, too.
I was going to say, when I was a kid, there was pirates, medieval, general.
Space.
And I think that was it.
I don't think that a lot of that when I was a kid. I think it was a lot of generic stuff and maybe some sets where you could build some specific
things. I know when
I was
a kid, I had a bunch of the medieval sets.
Really?
Medieval.
You? Not pirate?
No, believe it or not, I didn't have a lot of the pirate stuff when I was a kid. My parents always bought me the castles and shit.
I see.
I was okay with that, though. Growing up, now I have a bunch of pirate-related Playmobil, Lego, bric-a-brac when I
stuff,
see it.
Stuff, whenever you see it. Dollar store.
Yeah, man. Those little pirate pieces were awesome.
Well, this is what I'm saying about Lego. When you can, I mean, while this may have appealed to some more affluent's not the right word, intelligent children, you know what I mean? This is not a children's product.
Oh, not at all.
I think this is a collector's product, an adult product. But that says a lot about where Lego's going, don't you think? I mean, if Lego is starting to do stuff that's collector-based, clearly, most of Lego's other stuff, you can clearly identify as stuff that's made for kids with kids in mind. How about that? Not for kids, but with kids in mind.
Okay.
Even the even the Star Wars stuff and the bigger pieces in those lines and everything, and in their own universe stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the point of it is that I think that Lego has the opportunity and is taking advantage of it about the fact that kids that grew up with Lego still like Lego.
Hell yes.
And so, therefore, you know, there's some transition occurring
here. I feel you.
I think Lego's a great company. I want so desperately for them to succeed. And I think that they're succeeding well. And these two pieces, let's say it again. It's the Guggenheim Museum in New York. That's number 21004. And Falling Water, 21005, from their architecture series featuring the works of Frank Lloyd Wright, I think are just such a profound achievement that they should be very proud.
I concur.
And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 160, Brick by Brick.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 160, Brick by Brick. We talked about a lot of garbage tonight.
Yes.
And some good stuff, too. Some diamonds in the rough.
Yes.
But first, the garbage.
Okay.
Bryan Singer. and Excalibur.
Go right to the bottom of that barrel and work your way up.
Todd McFarlane and Spawn, the movie, again. Kevin Feige.
Imagine if you were a soldier in the Devil's Army.
Kevin
that
Feige.
That is Spawn.
Kevin Feige from Marvel Movies had his no duh, no shit move comment this week with his... with his Nick Fury is the conduit through which all things.
Oh, Spider-Man is the teenager.
Chris Nolan may be shooting Batman all in IMAX, and Megan Fox will not be playing Catwoman.
Superman is strong. From Dark Horse Comics, check out a pair of Star Wars books, Omnibus, Shadows of the Empire, TP, and the Thrawn Trilogy hardcover. Both 400 pages or more, covering really great stuff from the Star Wars universe. Also from Dark Horse, check out Zach Whedon and friends' Dr. Horrible. To me, feels like it might be a year one sort of thing, a 40-page one-shot coming soon to a retail place that you might go to.
We also threw out to the fans this week, which Batman villains do you think would or would not work?
And why?
And why in the Chris Nolan Batman universe?
Or why not?
Exactly. Maybe there's a little something in there for the best one.
Oh, I say there is a prize, sir.
I'm thinking.
I'm saying it right now. There is a prize.
I'm thinking.
A prize.
All right.
I got the prize closet is busting, sir.
Nice.
And I'd like to get some shit out there.
All right.
So, there we go.
All right.
Prize for the best answer. And that's a complete answer. So don't write me up saying Black Mask because he's real. Shut up. I want to know why.
Do we want to stick with just villains? Let's clarify this. We want to stick with just Batman villains. That would work. Let's stay away from Batman.
Don't write in guys. Robin.
I don't want to know Robin or Nightwing Batgirl or Nightwing.
It's too early for any of that
shit
anyway.
Let's just stick with villains for now.
Yes, villains.
Okay.
Speaking of villains... there's probably some in all these comic books that you should check out, including Batman the Widening Gyre, number one, from Kevin Smith and DC and Paul and Walt Flanagan. Sorry. Guardians of the Galaxy, 17, from Marvel. The Red Circle, DC imprint, The Shield, one shot. Check that out. From Dark Horse, Star Wars Legacy, 39. From Moonstone, The Phantom Generations, number four. From Dynamite, you get Buck Rogers number 3 and the Confusing Superpowers, Project Superpowers, Chapter 2, number 2. And finally, DC Comics, Experimental Wednesday Comics, the 8th of 12, large format newsprint broadsheet style thing. So check that out also. And while you're checking those out, check out the DVDs we recommended this week, which include Kung Flu Legendary Movie, The Five Deadly Venoms.
Kung Flu?
Kung Flu.
Terrible, terrible illness.
That's like the swine flu, only Asian. It's like the swine flu with duck sauce. House Season 5. Check that out. And Adventureland with super sexy Kristen Stewart from all of those wonderful Twilight movies.
Which there has been one so far.
Another one's coming.
Also out this week, Smallville Season 8, Scrub Season 8, The Brave and the Bold Volume 1.
If you can find it.
And no booty pimping this week.
Yes, thank you for that. And thank you for that last week also. It was very embarrassing.
Hey, some people liked it.
I know. Both of them. The History of the DC Universe Series Number 2 action figures have come out. Four figures in the line. They include... The Flash, Aquaman, Black Lightning, and the Creeper. We've established a pattern there, which I think is going to continue. And finally, rounding out the evening, Lego has come to the table with, I think, a pair of cross the generational products here.
Okay.
From their architecture series, this includes models 21004 and 21005. The Guggenheim Museum and Falling Water, respectively, from architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Terrific products from Lego. Terrific crossover pieces. Well done. Well done.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have every single episode, all of our video segments, the spiffy new... Oh, not new. The spiffy t-shirt. I wish it was a new t-shirt. Where is that kid?
I don't know. Where is he?
I don't know. We have the Big Kev's Geek Stuff t-shirt still for sale over there, so you can check that out. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 425-920-6050.
Or you can drop us a line at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
And maybe I'll get back to you.
Did anybody write you about your love of Hancock?
Couple of people did. Couple of people were okay with it and liked it also.
I think
a couple of people, not so fans.
I think you're lying.
No.
Absolutely. I'm wondering why you didn't bring any of those to the table today. Any of those emails praising...
Because I actually didn't get any emails. It was all through Twitter.
Oh, it was all through Twitter.
Yeah, sorry.
You should probably email us, folks, and not just Twitter OG. Or call the hotline. We have a hotline.
We do have a
425-920-6050. We're not putting it out there for our own fucking health, people.
Yeah. Because if you don't call, then we're going to keep on playing Jesse from Buffalo's call every week.
That's it. If we don't have new phone calls, it's Jesse from Buffalo's report.
Every week.
You going to tell Just Mike that?
Yep.
Okay. I think Just Mike will agree with me that that is not a good idea. Just saying.
Anyway, don't forget you can also check us out over at Geekerdome, our new Happy to Be Part of network, along with some other great shows, web content. And I think that's it. We're going to wrap up this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We have no final words, so good night.
That's it? That's how it. You're going to go out?
That's how I'm going out.
You're just going to roll out good night and that's it?
I'm going to go home and maybe play some more Arkham.
Jeez.
After I get to eat.
Jeez.
And on that note, we cue the music.